Take your Bible and find Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. So we think this morning on this question, do you delight in the bride of Christ? That is the question of the hour. We are considering a series of 10 questions to diagnose our spiritual health. And today's question is, do you delight in the bride of Christ? Last summer, Kim and I were in Charleston, South Carolina, where I officiated at a wedding on Saturday evening for my nephew. And on Sunday morning, we worshiped at the First Baptist Church of Charleston, where my friend Marshall Blaylock is pastor. His wife, Kathy, was a former Lakeviewer who was a part of our fellowship during her student days. First Baptist Church Charleston is the oldest Baptist church in the South. It was established in 1682. And when you arrive on the campus there, you can see it's been there a long time. There are gravestones there that look ancient, and they're all around the churchyard. It's a church house located around a cemetery where members and former pastors are buried. And so we were there for the worship service on Sunday morning. And it was quite a bit different from what we experienced here at Lakeview. Beginning of the service, the choir processed down the center aisle. These choir members were wearing white robes, and they were singing in Latin. We were sitting in pews that had doors on the end of the pews. There once was a time there when you would purchase your pew, and you would sit there where you purchased your pew. You could lock out anybody else. We sang from a hymnal, and the pastor preached that day in what I call a crow's nest. It's one of those elevated pulpits that you climb a little circular stair and you get to, and he wore a Geneva gown, what we just call a minister's black robe. And that was our experience of worship at First Baptist Church Charleston. The following Sunday, Kim and I were in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, we were in the Seattle, Washington area. And we chose to worship on that day at River Chase Community Church, a new Southern Baptist church which has been started there by Brent Reeves, my friend, who was once pastor of Parkway Church here in Auburn. It met in a schoolhouse, very informal. There was no congregational singing. There was a praise team, and they sang several songs, but we didn't sing along with them. We were invited to, but nobody was singing but me and Kim. So eventually we quit. We were sitting while they were singing. There was no offering. There was an announcement, if you want to give your tithe, there's a little place in the back door where you can give it. Because they meet in temporary facilities, they have to set up every Sunday morning and take down every Sunday after the service. The pastor preached that day while sitting on a stool. He had on blue jeans, a shirt, just a casual shirt with a shirt tail out, and sandals. Very different from what we had experienced the previous Sunday. Both Southern Baptist churches. And yet they had in common the Word of God. Both Marshall and Brent gave wonderful expositions of the Scripture that day. And my soul was fed and nourished on the Word of God. And I confess to you that I had a wonderful experience with God at both places. I have a disposition toward the church. I have a lifelong love affair with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have to confess that to you. For as far back as I can remember, I have loved the church. I've loved going to Sunday school and to the worship services. In fact, the only time I can ever remember not wanting to go to a worship experience, I was in the third grade. Elvis Presley had just hit the big time, and he was going to be on the Ed Sullivan Show on Sunday night. And it was the talk of the grammar school that I attended. And it seemed that everybody at Forella Grammar School was going to be watching Ed Sullivan on this Sunday night. And I remember begging my mom and dad if I could miss church so I could stay home and see Elvis on television. I don't remember if they let me go or not, but I just remember I wanted to miss that one time. Other than that, I've had this lifelong love affair with the church. And that's the question for our consideration this morning. Do you delight in the bride of Christ? I want you to see in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25, 26, and 27, what Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus about the bride of Christ. Look in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Now, Ephesians 5 is Paul's instructions to the Ephesian church about the relationship between husbands and wives. How are husbands to relate to their wives and how are wives to relate to their husbands? And when Paul gives this instruction, he uses the analogy of the church as the bride of Christ and Jesus as the bridegroom of Christ. And he's saying to husbands, you are to relate to your wife in the same way that Jesus relates to the church. Now, how does Christ relate to the church? Well, we're told in this passage in verse 25 that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Jesus' relationship with the church is a love relationship. And Jesus has demonstrated his love for the church by giving his life on the cross as an atoning sacrifice for our sins and being raised on the third day as a victory over death. And so we see here that Jesus loves the church. He loves the church sacrificially, so much so that he gave his life for her. Now understand here that in this particular passage of Scripture, that Jesus is like the bridegroom and the church is like the bride. Jesus is the bridegroom to his bride. You and I, who are the sons and daughters of God, we are the bride of Christ. And someday we will sit down with our bridegroom at the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is described for us in the latter chapters of the book of the Revelation. So Jesus loves the church. And as his followers, we are to love that which Jesus loves. We are to love his bride. We are to take delight in her. We are to take pleasure in her. And so the question is, do you delight in the bride of Christ? This is a diagnostic question to help us measure our spiritual health. Do you delight in his church? Do you delight in the bride of Christ? There are some who would say to us, well, it's Jesus that I love, but it's his church I have a problem with. There are far too many problems in the church, far too many hypocrites in the church. I love Jesus, but I don't want to have anything to do with his church. One young man by the name of John Fuseling, who was reared by Christian parents, but obviously had some kind of bad experience with the church, said this: I have come to view Jesus the way I view Elvis. I love the guy, but a lot of the fan clubs freak me out. And that's the way he feels about the church, freaked out. But Jesus loves his bride. And Jesus made it clear that we can't put any distance between him and his fan club, his church. And so as we think this morning about this larger question, do you delight in the bride of Christ? I want you to think about it under three sub-questions. And think about yourself. Think about your own relationship with the bride of Christ. Think about your own relationship with his church, with this church. The first sub-question I want to ask and pose is this: do you delight in her fellowship? When we think about delighting in the bride of Christ, do you delight in her fellowship, that is the fellowship of the people of God within the church. Look in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Someone has described these verses and the verse before it as like a lettuce patch. In verse 23, let us. Verse 24, let us. Verse 25, let us. Well, look in verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, whatever else we can say about these two verses of Scripture, we must confess this, that these two verses teach us that the Christian life is to be lived out in community, in fellowship. It is not something that we can do in isolation. Look again in verse 24. Let us consider, this is what we're to think about and consider, how we may spur one another. When you ever see a phrase, one another, in the Bible, know that's something you can't do in isolation. You've got to do it with at least one other person, or a group of people, or a congregation of people. Let us think about how we can spur others, other brothers and sisters in Christ, to do what? Toward love and toward good deeds. It is a community action. Verse 25. And let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Don't stop assembling together in the fellowship of God's people. But continue to assemble together. Continue to gather together and encourage one another as we see the day approaching. What day? The day of the Lord, the day in which Jesus comes at the end of the age. And so it's not a matter of preference for us as believers to be a part of a community of other believers. It's a matter of obedience or disobedience. The question is, do you delight in this fellowship? Do you delight in gathering with the people of God on the Lord's day? Is it something you have a sense of oughtness about, or is it something you have a sense of want to? Do you want to gather with God's people on the Lord's day? Well, obviously you do. At least you're here. I hope you're here because you want to be here, not because someone coerced you to come or because you felt would feel guilty if you didn't come. But you're here because you love God. You love the people of God. You love to experience the corporate worship with the people of God. You love the fellowship of God. Fact is, some of your fellow church members are not here. Some hadn't been here in a long time. A survey done a few years ago among Southern Baptist churches revealed that the average Southern Baptist church, of which there are about 42, maybe 43,000 now in the United States, the average Southern Baptist church has 233 members. And on a typical Sunday, it will have 70 of those members present. That means 163 are missing on a typical Sunday. Where are they? Well, some are sick. They would rather be in the Lord's house, but they're sick. And some are on vacation, and perhaps some are elderly and infirm, and they're in an old folks' home. And some have gone away to college, and some are serving with the military. But not all. Some of them are just AWOL. They're just absent. They don't delight in the fellowship of the bride of Christ. A sign of spiritual health is desiring fellowship with the people of God. To desire to gather in worship with the people of God, yes. To desire to gather in Sunday school classes to study the Word of God, yes. To linger with the people of God, yes. It blesses me sometimes on a Sunday morning. And it's more true on a Sunday evening than a Sunday morning. Just to sit up here on the platform and watch people fellowship after the service is over. sometimes 30, 40 minutes or more after the service is ended. There are large numbers of people in this room. They're just fellowshipping. They're enjoying one another. Sometimes they're praying for each other. It's a sign of spiritual health to desire to be in fellowship with the people of God, to linger with God's people. And there's some who come here Sunday by Sunday who do so at, in my estimation, who do so at extraordinary commitment and desire. They both were in the earlier worship service. I think of Herb Jones, who sings in the choir. One of our older members who has dialysis 3 days a week. But he's here faithfully Sunday morning and Sunday night. Because he desires the fellowship of the people of God. And then there's Leonard McCormick, who had a serious stroke a few years ago. And he gets about with some considerable difficulty, and yet Leonard McCormick is here faithfully Sunday by Sunday by Sunday because he desires to fellowship with the bride of Christ, to be with the people of God. This is not the only way we can diagnose our spiritual health, but this is a good way. Do you delight in the bride of Christ? Then ask yourself this question. Do you delight in her fellowship? Do you long to be with the people of God as they gather on the Lord's day? A second sub-question as we consider the greater question, do you delight in the bride of Christ? Number two, do you delight in her joyfully? Do you joyfully long for the people of God, the bride of Christ, to be with the bride of Christ? Look in Psalm 122. Psalm 122 verse 1. This is one of the first scripture memory verses I ever learned as a child. In the old King James Version it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. In fact, we used to sing it as children. Psalm 122 verse 1. This is a song by David. I rejoiced in those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Now let's make a distinction between the house of the Lord and the people of the Lord. The church is not a building. This facility in which we are gathered is not the church. At midnight tonight, this room will be empty. It will not be the church. It'll just be the meeting house. But right now, we are the church. We are Lakeview Baptist Church, assembled in this room to worship God. And in Old Testament times, they would go up to the house of the Lord to worship. And David said, I was joyful, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Do you look forward to going to the house of the Lord? Do you? Do you rejoice in it? What's it like for you on Saturday night? You excited about Sunday? Is Sunday the best day of the week for you? It ought to be. It ought to be the day of the week that you long for the most, the one you anticipate the most, because you get to fellowship with God's people. You get to sing His praises. You get to hear the Word of God proclaimed. You get to rejoice corporately with your fellow believers in Christ. It ought to be the best day of the week. And when you go to bed on Saturday night, it ought to be with a sense of anticipation. You know, I can't wait to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ tomorrow as we gather at the house of the Lord. I dare not miss being with the bride of Christ. I'm excited about it. I'm rejoicing about it. Do you delight in the bride of Christ joyfully? We live in a community that delights in the worship of athletics. The biggest house of worship in Lakeview is not this room. You know that. It's about 2 or 3 miles from here. It's a big stadium. Jordan-Hare. That's the biggest house of worship in our community. And you know, I enjoy going on Saturday. I don't go to all the games, and I go to quite a few. But I go to the ball game on Saturday, and I see some strange things. I see students there without their shirts. It may be 20 degrees, but they don't have a shirt on. And one has a big orange A painted on his chest, and the one next to him has a big blue U, and the one next to him has a big orange, help me, B, U, R, N. Did I spell it right? You know what I'm talking about, though. I mean, they go early. They go out there hours before kickoff, have their sacrificial lamb out there. They cook it out there, and then they eat it. And long after it's over, they make it their way down to Toomer's Corner. Now, I'm not criticizing that. I've done all of that myself. We call that a fan. We ought to have that kind of enthusiasm and that kind of joy and that kind of gladness multiplied many folds when it comes to the Lord's house on the Lord's day. We ought not to drag in here late. We ought to get here with a first note. And we ought not to leave before it's done. We ought to stay to the end. And we ought to be here Sunday by Sunday unless providentially hindered. You know, just be loyal. Be committed. Say, what if company comes from out of town? Bring them with you. Or they don't want to come. Tell them you'll be back about 12:30. That's what we did when I was a kid. I mean, sports fans do it, don't they? Did you hear about this 87-year-old man? His name was Giles Pellerin. He was a fan of the University of Southern Cal Trojan football team. He attended 750 consecutive Southern Cal football games without a miss. He went 69 years without missing a ball game. And one season he had an appendectomy 5 days before a Southern Cal game. And the doctor said, you cannot be dismissed from this hospital. And so he slipped out and went to the game anyway. There's a guy in love of football. We ought to love the bride of Christ infinitely more than that. Christ died for His bride. He shed His blood for His bride. He loves His bride, and we ought to love that which Jesus loves. 35 years ago this summer, Kim and I were engaged. And soon I was to leave and move to Fort Worth, Texas, where I was to be a student at the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. And I was very sad about leaving my future bride, and she was sad about me moving away to Texas. In the province of God, we were able to move up our wedding date so that we got married in the middle of the first semester. But the first half of that semester, every other weekend, I drove from Fort Worth, Texas to Kinston, Alabama, 713 miles to be with my bride. My future bride. I'm telling you, when my car was headed east, I was a happy boy. And when I had to go back on Monday morning, we didn't have Monday classes. When I had to drive back on Monday, I was headed west, I was a sad boy. I wanted to be with my bride because I loved her. I still want to be with my bride. I'd rather be with her than you. No offense. I just like to hang out with her more than I want to hang out with you. She's my bride. She's my soulmate. We connect. We get along. We love each other. And you and I, we are the bride of Christ. And Jesus loves us. And Jesus wants us to love one another. Jesus wants us to desire fellowship with one another. Jesus wants us to desire that fellowship with gladness. And with joy. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. We're asking this question this morning. Do you delight in the bride of Christ? And I said there are three sub-questions. Do you delight in her fellowship? Do you delight in her joyfully. Number three, do you delight in her mission? Do you delight in the mission of the bride of Christ? Well, Pastor, what's the mission? Well, you know what it is. It's real clear. Jesus has made it clear to us. Look in Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. We know this is the Great Commission. It's the mandate, the mission that Jesus has given to His bride. Before Jesus ascended back to heaven, Jesus spoke these words, Matthew 28, beginning with verse 18. Then Jesus came to them, that's to His followers, His disciples, and this is what He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." There it is. It's unmistakable. It's unequivocal. Jesus said, this is what you're to be doing. Make disciples. The mission of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to make disciples. Now, there are many organizations that exist for their own benefit, but the church exists for the benefit of those who are not yet a part of the church. We exist to make disciples. We exist to proclaim the gospel, to call sinners to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to obedience to the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our reason for being here is to make disciples. Now, where is this disciple-making to take place? Look again in the text, verse 19. Go and make disciples of all nations. Now, when you see this phrase, nations, don't think Germany, India, Angola, Brazil, United States. We use the term nation to describe these political states, and they're, I don't know, maybe 240 or 50 or 70 or 80, something like that, in the world. But Jesus used the term nations here to refer to people groups, tribes, language groups, ethnic groups. And there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of nations in the earth. And Jesus said, our mission is to make disciples of all the nations. To go to every nation, every tongue, every tribe, every people, proclaim the gospel, call people to faith in Jesus Christ, gather them in worshiping communities that they might sing the praise of the Lamb of God. Now that's our mission right there. Now, the good news is, we're getting closer and closer to completing the mission. Of the thousands and thousands of nations that make up the earth, we're getting really close to getting the gospel to the last people group. Missiologists have identified those groups. We know where they are. We know their size. It's just a matter of somebody going there with the gospel. I heard Jerry Rankin say here a while back that the present rate of getting the gospel out, we should get this task completed by the year 2011. Now, it might be sooner, might be later. We don't know, but that's what he said. Those who track these trends say. In Matthew 24, Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the nations, and then the end will come. When is Jesus going to come again? We don't know when it's going to be, but we know this. When Jesus comes, it'll be when the gospel has gone to every nation. Our mission is to make disciples of all the nations. It begins right here in Auburn, Alabama. And it extends to the ends of the earth, to every unreached nation. We are to make disciples. You know, that's why we focus on calling out missionaries here. That's why we give missionary offerings at Christmas and at Easter time. That's why your pastor is more than willing to have a missionary come and share a testimony in a Sunday service. This is not just some personal passion of mine, though it's that. It is the clear mandate of the Scripture, beginning as far back as Genesis chapter 12. You can trace it entirely through the Old Testament all the way down to the last book of the New Testament. This Bible is a missionary book. The heart of God is for the nations, not just the Jewish people. Thank God the gospel is not just for Jews, because you and I would be lost if it was just for the Jews. But the gospel is for all the nations. This is our mission. As we think about our spiritual health, as we diagnose our spiritual health, as we ask ourselves these diagnostic questions about the bride of Christ, ask yourself this question: do I delight in the mission of the bride of Christ? And how privileged we are to be a part of taking the gospel to all the nations. Don Whitney said, and I quote, "The work of Christ's church is the greatest, most soul-satisfying enterprise in the universe. Nothing compares. Neither career, family, conquest, success, wealth, politics, retirement, nothing. Furthermore," he went on to say, "it is the only eternally enduring work we can do. Those who aren't committed to the work of the church are not just extremely short-sighted and self-defeating. They are also forfeiting an incredible privilege. To delight yourself in anything else more than in God and in the work of His kingdom is like contenting yourself with watching a video of someone else's ceremony when you could be on your own honeymoon." What an incredible privilege you and I have to partner with the Lord Jesus and with brothers and sisters in Christ to get the gospel to all the nations. Do you delight in the mission of the bride of Christ? Do you delight in the fellowship of the bride of Christ? Do you delight in her joyfully? You say, "Pastor, not as well as I ought to. What shall I do?" Ask the Holy Spirit of God to give you His desires for His bride. Just pray, "Holy Spirit, give me a new desire for the bride of Christ. Give me Your heart for the people of God. Transform me and make me what You want me to be." If we honestly and earnestly humble ourselves before God and pray that prayer, I want to promise you, you will find yourself falling more in love with the church, His bride, His redeemed ones. Would you pray with me?